Rolling.
I came here on a golden rocket.
You never listen to me.
Leaving on a magic carpet and now.
Divorce sucks.
It's what you do this time.
We don't like each other.
He doesn't like me. I like him.
I'm Serge.
I'm Monica.
We were married for almost 9 years. We're divorced now.
We live four doors down from each other.
We have three kids.
You're not being very nice to me.
This is our story of divorce and life after divorce. Our ex-life.
Our ex-life.
You want a drink? I want a drink, too.
All right.
Should we probably talk about favorite childhood foods from Thanksgiving?
Oh, you're just launching right into it. You're not even going to be like, how are you doing? Or
I don't care how anyone's doing. I only care about my favorite childhood foods from Thanksgiving.
I was over here at 9:30 last night yelling at you.
This is true. You know, I think I've come to accept that you have your own way of assaulting me.
Assaulting you?
No, I think you have your own way of,
working through my shit.
Well, we have different hours. So the fact is when you come to my house and I'm in bed, cause I'm in bed at like 7:00, and it feels to me.
By the way, can I ask you a question? Did you, I passed your bathroom. Your downstairs bathroom where you shower?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have your clothes laid out for the next morning?
No. No, sadly, I will admit this.
In my upsetness, I clocked. Does he have his clothes set out so he gets up and showers and they're laying out for him already?
You know, I'm in this kind of in-between state of financial existence where I'm wearing the same thing all the time, you know. I keep putting off the fact that I need to go and buy some new stuff.
Oh, man,
stuff.
I think we should all just wear uniforms. I'm so tired of picking out stuff to wear.
I've been wearing these, like, Carhartt pants and
this
gray jacket.
Uniform?
And every time I look at it in the mirror, I'm like, I look like I'm dressed for the Mao Zedong March of 10 zillion people. So I'm sort of have this communist China...
Whatever works.
Look. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But no, I don't lay my clothes. I basically just take them off and then wake up and put them back on.
That's kind of how what
which
I've
is very sad. And
no,
pathetic.
It's not. Why is that sad?
Well, at least in the winter or the cold weather, I don't have to worry about
it's
them.
It's liberating.
Reeking.
It's minimalism in action. Like you should just have like 2 jeans and 4 shirts and just rotate and be done with it.
Yeah, but there's a certain sadness that goes with minimalism when
why
it's not intentional, you know?
I guess.
Is your computer doing something?
Yeah, you can mute it. The little buttons in the top where the yes. Fs are. No. The F buttons at the top. F.
You do it. I don't know.
I can't reach it.
F.
The F buttons, like F10.
That's so
there we go.
Pro.
Squeaky.
I'm squeaky.
Your chair is squeaky.
I'm dressed like Mao Zedong and I'm squeaky. Mao Zedong.
You just said squeaky, which reminded me of Squeaky Fromm, which did you hear Charles Manson is dying?
Is he?
Allegedly. He's on his deathbed.
And I did not hear that.
Anyway, that's a thing.
I don't know. Am I supposed to be thankful for that?
That he's dying? I don't know. Doesn't it feel like sort of a small, not even a small pocket of evil, a large pocket of evil is now going to disappear from the universe once he dies?
How is he even still alive? I mean, when you think about all the people that have been on death row and stuff, and he's still there, he's like the poster child for death row in a sense, right? But
yeah.
I don't like the death penalty or anything, but it does seem like he was a prominent terror. You know,
I don't know the ins and outs of it. No, he keeps going. He'll keep going up for parole. He must not have got the death penalty. Because didn't he? He'll keep going. Anyway, we're totally veering off. But I know people would like Sharon Tate's sister would go testify for him to not get out on parole and stuff.
Hmm.
So he must not have got. I don't know. Because if you have the death penalty. Anyway.
He's not getting out. Is that what you're saying?
He's dying. I just don't even think he was on death row because.
Right. I don't know that. Yeah. Again, I don't think there's.
Does California even have the death penalty?
I don't believe. They do. I have no idea. I have no idea what we're even saying.
I know. We went from me yelling at you last night. I wasn't yelling. Was I yelling? Yeah, I was yelling. Yeah. It's
there was a Charles Manson aspect to the entire thing.
But look at us today. I apologize.
Yeah, it's a work in progress, man. This entire thing is a work in progress. And, you know, again, I think as each of us maybe goes through some personal struggles or whatever, you know, that is kind of the bottom line here, is that the other person hopefully can help out, you know, in whatever capacity.
Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and say what upset me, because I think that it's something a lot of people struggle with. And if 3 years after our divorce, I'm still struggling with it, or it's actually the first time I've had to struggle with it, I think it's something everybody's dealing with, which is you have a girlfriend, and I just sort of I'm trying to process it and handle it, and I'm doing better. I'm doing good at some times and not so good at other times. But my kids were telling me about Sunday, and they were playing in the leaves at Grammy's house with Dad and his girlfriend. They don't call her your girlfriend, but they said she was there and you guys spent the afternoon. And it's just a weird thing. I think for anybody who is going through a divorce, it's a weird thing to sort of see your entire family, like your ex-spouse and your children, and then there's that new person in the picture in your spot. And you intellectually know, and I know you've had to deal with it a little bit with me as well, although I wouldn't say that I've ever had a boyfriend since our divorce. I've dated some people consistently, but I haven't had anyone that I would call a boyfriend. But it's just a weird thing to see someone else in your spot. Do you know what I mean? And
I do know what you mean. However, and I think I said this to you yesterday and maybe didn't emphasize it enough, and again, it's a matter of paradigm, but it's not someone in your spot. You know, that's...
I know.
It's like no one can take your place, and no one's trying to.
No, I know, but I'm phrasing it that way to describe that sort of animalistic response. Mm-hmm. It's not an intellectual response. Do I think your girlfriend is replacing me? No. But it's just sort of this weird, and then you have to sort of, and that's the thing that I've learned with divorce, is you have to choose your reaction. And most of my reactions, my knee-jerk reactions, aren't great. But I have to sort of sort through them. In my defense, I don't feel defensive right now. I did apologize, and we're here recording, and it's sort of very meta where sometimes we have trouble recording a podcast because it's just weird timing. We've talked about doing this podcast for a year, and wouldn't you know it, the minute we start it, you land yourself a girlfriend, which complicates it for me because I would like to just go away and avoid it. And I think our relationship would be a little bit better if I could get some distance, mm-hmm. and get some distance from you. But the way we've got it set up, I see you all the time. So it sort of is like ripping the scab off over and over, and I can't just get away from it all and get some much needed perspective and distance for myself. Do you know what I mean?
I do. You know, I don't know exactly what to do about
there's
that.
There's not. And I can. I feel like.
And this wasn't like a situation too where I keep looking at it and saying, well, you know, we can say when you talk to people that don't know anything about our life, this wasn't a situation where I met a girl the week before we were podcasting and asked her to be my girlfriend. You know, it's been almost a year.
You do that? You say, will you go with me? Will you be my girlfriend?
Yeah, I texted that. It was a very sad moment in my life, but I'm still learning,
man. You texted
man.
Her that? I'm going to offer her a public apology right now
right.
that you texted her.
No,
will you be my girlfriend?
She handled it very much. Yeah, I did it like with an emoji and a Casper the Friendly Ghost gif. And
are you lying right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, no, I'm lying.
Okay. All right. Let's not go into that. I don't need your details on that. I can do without those.
But listen, the point is that we are heading into Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We are trying our best. We canceled recording yesterday because you were feeling under the weight of all this stuff that you're struggling with on a personal level, where in that particular situation, my life is way different right now. And yet, here we are. Like today, we've decided.
Wait, did you just say I'm sad and struggling, and your life is way different.
I didn't say sad.
Like, your life is awesome.
So that's a Freudian injection from you. I didn't say sad. I said you're struggling.
And then you go, and my life is way different.
In that particular
meaning,
department.
Meaning
just because,
you're doing awesome?
No. No, it's just because, like, I'm the one that has say, I have a girlfriend, and you're the one that's reeling from that, you know? But I've reeled many times from all kinds of things.
Give me one thing you've reeled from.
I've reeled from seeing you in contact with guys. I've reeled from knowing that you're out there and about there, you know? And I've reeled from, I have followed you in my car on dates, you know, when you're on dates.
I don't go on dates.
I reeled that. I couldn't believe these, like, microbrew pubs that you go to.
Oh, my God. I don't go to microbrew.
Horrific
shitholes. I drink Corona sad and alone on my couch. All right. So, okay. What is it? We separated in 2014. So our first Thanksgiving, as you know what I'm proud of? Here's what I'm proud of. We separated in 2014, but yet we have celebrated every single Thanksgiving and Christmas together since we separated. 2014, 2015, 2016, and now we're looking at 2017, which we have not had the conversation. What are we doing for Thanksgiving? And it's always kind of in your court because your family is around and that's usually who we celebrate Thanksgiving with. So I don't even know what's going on. We haven't had the conversation.
Right.
What is on? How do you feel about it? I always sort of feel like I'm at your mercy where I kind of look at you and I'm like, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And am I invited? Or do you know what I mean? It's an uncomfortable position for me to be in.
Okay. First of all, you're not at anyone's mercy. You can, if you want to throw Thanksgiving dinner at your house, I'll come. You know, so that's, and I'm sure everyone else would come too. So that's not a truth. That's you.
Well, we all know I don't cook the turkey.
Right. So if you don't want to be bothered with that and you just want to go out and drink wine and have a good time or try to, which is hard when it's... But I think we've done a great job. You know, we did start by, in the beginning, we had a couple Thanksgivings here at my place, right?
The first Thanksgiving was here. I think we had two Thanksgivings here at your place. Right. And then last year we went to your brother's house.
And regardless of how we do it, even if we were doing it in a Chinese restaurant, you know, I don't think it really matters where as much as the fact that we're doing it and making that effort. And it's almost unimaginable that we would not do that, especially
at this
point.
Do you really think that, though?
Like, yeah,
okay,
I do.
What if, fast forward to a year from now, and you're still with your girlfriend, is this going to be a thing where you're like, hey, she's coming, Monica, just so you know, so it's up to you if you want to come or not. Like, that's where it's going, right?
I don't know. I can't predict that. You know, that's impossible for me. I have no idea. I live my life minute by minute.
What if it turns into a thing where she's like, I deserve to have a nice Thanksgiving with the guy I'm with. Why does she have to come, Serge? Like, what might there be a point where
then
she
I'm
going to
blow myself up with a dynamite vest because I can't take
might
the stress
might there be a point where she rolls her eyes that you're fucking pain in the ass ex-wife is always hanging out.
One thing I think we have going for us is the fact that we are making it very public knowledge and, you know, that we are doing this.
Right.
That we
Anyone
are trying
coming
this
into
in
the
unison
thing knows the deal.
Parenting.
Right.
Yeah. And so.
Okay. That's a good point.
You know, so we have that going for us, for better or for worse. But in that particular case, I think it reveals that, hey, this
God
is what
damn,
we've done.
And I hope. You know, it's so easy to talk to you in the light of day intellectually about it and be like, God, I hope we are celebrating Thanksgiving all together next year. And it's really cool. Like, so then why? And I asked you this question last night. When I want something so badly, when I want to feel good so badly, and when I'm tired of feeling pain, why can't I stop feeling the pain? Like, I want to stop feeling the pain, but these habit energies and my shitty reactions overtake me. And I can't get out of that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just because I'm a weak person?
I don't know.
Is it just because I'm an angry, weak person?
I don't think so. I think the mind is a terrible thing to taste. You know, it really
is.
Did
you just make that up right now? A terrible thing to taste?
No, I've heard that somewhere else. All right. But I think that it's funny. I was watching this video today. I was almost going to send it to you. I've become addicted to Vice, the Vice Network on YouTube. They have all these videos that they make, and they're really well done. And I guess it's up my alley. I'm that kind of person that digs them. They speak to me. But there's a video about, it's called gang stalking, which I had no idea. I've never even heard of this. But it's essentially people that seem like they're, again, influenced by modern technology and whatnot, but have developed this almost sense of paranoia that they are being followed, literally, by helicopters and cars on,
like,
the freeway.
These are real people that think
yes,
they're being followed.
Yes, and okay. And people who seem...
So are you using this okay. as an example of the mind is just a fucked up thing?
There's a part in it where they're talking to a doctor in New York, and he explains, and I can't even paraphrase, I can't remember exactly, but you should watch it. But he's talking about where there's this point in time when our minds are so stressed where they actually jump to a different level beyond our personal control, so to speak.
Right.
So it may get to this point where all of these things that have been stressing you out become unstoppable.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And
to the point where I'll lay in bed, like all last night, I didn't sleep.
It's like helicopters following you.
Right.
You know?
But I'll lay in bed and I sit there and I wonder shit like that. Like, I don't just fixate on the thing that's upsetting me, which is like feeling replaced by your girlfriend or whatever. I start to fixate on my reaction to it and my response, and I'm angry at myself for my reaction. And then I start to wonder, have I gone crazy? Are all the people around me talking about how sad it is that I'm stuck in this hole? And I, it's even involves paranoia where I'm like, have I just stagnated at this horrible level post-divorce and I can't get out of the hole, and other people recognize that about me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in it, so I don't realize it. And do you know what I'm saying? I start to freak out about all kinds of different levels of the situation, not just the thing that's upsetting me, if
right.
that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And again, I guarantee you there are lots of people listening right now to this that get it. You know, I get it. I'm there a lot. Like, I hate the voice in my head. You know, I
yeah.
hate that voice. I can utilize it at times in art, and I love it, and I'm really glad to have it. But a lot of the other times, I'm just like, man, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, and
it never stops.
And it's my voice. It's annoying, but mm-hmm. it's like my voice when I watch my voice back on a video or something. I'm like, I hate that. Like, I can't even listen to these things because it's just like, I just
nobody
shrink
likes the
back.
Sound of their own voice.
Exactly. But that's always going on. And the things it's telling me and the things it's asking me, you know, and life is a pain in the ass. You know, especially when you got to keep hearing your own self. And even in my daily life, like talking to the kids and getting to this point where I'm so tired of saying, stop, get down, get off the coffee
yes.
table, you know, put your pants back on, you know, stop. Did you pee? Like, do you got to go pee? Always, over and over again. But then sometimes I'm able to step back and be like, okay, well, that's just how, you know, that's how it is. That's just, that's.
Do you ever wonder though? And
probably everyone is feeling that.
Do you ever wonder, like you only know how you experience life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how other people experience life and what, cause we don't, a lot of people experience life and they don't, who knows what fucked up shit is going on in their head. I wonder if I'm extra fucked up and other people are kind of just happily going about their life, and the way that I am is just super loony, and I'm experiencing life on this whole other fucked up level that nobody else is experiencing. Do you see how close I'm walking that line of sad insanity?
Yeah, no, but I don't think that's unusual. I really
yeah.
don't. And the sad part about it, or maybe the scary part about it, is that we feel very alone because – again, it is this in our minds are this entire kingdom that we exist in, and we can never break free from them.
No,
you know,
it's all we
that's
have.
Why people have turned to like LSD and things like that, like to hopefully alter their mind so much, you know, but it doesn't work, you know, like
you don't think I think it works.
Well, it does work, but I don't think you ever come back. Like, I enjoy the fact when I can run into my mind in a real peaceful way, you know, and those are the things
but
I look forward
when
to. And
when I've run into my mind, like if I get stoned, often I run into my mind in a really intellectual, calm way
mm-hmm.
that allows me to view things from what I feel like is the proper perspective.
Maybe.
I'm sober and I fuck it all up
maybe.
With my stupid hamster wheel brain, you know?
But I don't necessarily know that having your mind altered in that sense is an answer, you know, it's a place you can visit, right? Just like when I go fly fishing, you know, and I'm standing on a trout stream. I can visit this place and I can unwind my mind for a little while, but I can't live there. You know, right. I can't stay there. I can't.
For all the people out there, friendship, courtship, companionship, neighborship, sailorship around this cold week.
What is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving?
That I get to spend time with my family.
Is that really your favorite thing?
Yes.
You like spending time with your family more than you like pumpkin pie? Charlie, what do you like better, spending time with your family or eating pumpkin pie?
Spending time with my family.
Really? If somebody came up to you and said, you can either spend some time with your family or have this pumpkin pie with whipped cream, what would you say?
Thank you.
He said, thank you. I'm thankful for your mom, who watches our children at least 2 times a week.
Yes.
And is just a great Grammy.
That's a really good one. I'm thankful that it's become somewhat socially acceptable for me to start spinning my Christmas records here in the beginning of November.
I read a study yesterday that says that people who listen to Christmas music too much are less smart or something like that. I swear to God.
Why are they doing a study on that?
I need to Google
Who's
it.
Who's doing that?
I don't know. I'm going to Google it,
Come
though.
Come on. Less smart. Maybe I
Christmas
am.
Music.
Don't Google it now.
I can Google it now. Hold on. Christmas music study. I keep doing typos. Less smart. I swear to God, it's a deal. All right, here we go, here we go. Christmas music may take mental toll, psychologists say.
Okay, so that's different, though. If you're listening to it too early in the season.
No, but it's something about some people excitedly throw on Christmas music the minute the temperature drops. Others have a hard rule. Wait until after Thanksgiving to start playing Christmas tunes. And some people just cannot stand Christmas music, especially if it's played too early into the holiday season. For those who would rather do without jingle bells, a psychologist in Great Britain thinks you may be onto something. Clinical psychologist... Oh my God, look at this. Clinical psychologist Linda Blair. Isn't that the girl in Exorcist? Isn't Linda Blair...
This is fake news.
No, clinical psychologist Linda Blair says listening to Christmas music too early into the holiday season may affect mental health by triggering feelings of stress. Hearing a Christmas song can spark thoughts of all the things you have to do before the holiday, like shopping, party planning, and traveling. And you get
overwhelmed. See, the world has gone apeshit. I'm sorry, y'all, but, like, come on. Who is coming up with this? And then they put it in article form, and so then it's true.
CBSNews.com.
Fuck them.
Hearing the same songs over and over each day could make workers struggle to tune it out, and they become unable to focus on anything else, Blair told the UK's Sky News. You're right. Simply spending all of your energy trying not to hear what you're hearing.
But you're laughing like it's true. Like, you can't just believe it because it's. I've been listening to Christmas music all my life. Look at me. I'm awesome.
I'm just...
Early, too. I listened to it early.
You said that, and I thought of that study. I'm just providing a public service announcement.
You just ruined this whole part of the show. Thanksgiving. Maybe I'm over it. I used to care, I guess. I used to get excited about it when I was a kid. No school, Christmas around the corner, the big dinner with my family. There weren't many of us, but there was enough to make it feel vital. A gross drop of creamed onions stuck to my drunk pop-pop's chin, the football game blaring in the other room, even as me and my brother said some made-up grace. I had no idea what to say. I'm thankful for my family. I always said that. I'm thankful for Pete Rose. I might have said that. I can't remember. What the hell else do you say when you're 11? I pray for world peace? Get out of here. I didn't think about that kind of stuff. I was a chunky suburban kid whose life was dirt lots and malls and dadless days and nights. I didn't care about peace. I didn't think about the world. I didn't even understand that it existed. I cared about getting another can of Coke out of the fridge. I put any intellectual energy I might have had at that point into deep thinking about the little Bob Evans sausage boners I was starting to have when I looked at pictures of Princess Leia in my mom's lady magazines. I didn't feel grateful about much else, really. I was alive. I was fat. I liked baseball and fishing. I picked my nose when no one was around. I cried in my bunk sometimes when I thought about my dad. But that eventually fizzled out. I forgot what he sounded like, then what he even looked like. Getting married forced fresh life into the lungs of my Thanksgiving thing. It finally felt as if I had broken through the inexperience and apathy to truly connect with the holiday for maybe the first time in my life. Me and her, me and Monica, just the two of us against the world, I told myself. Look at us. Look at us trying to get it right, trying to maintain this thing of ours, this very hard, fast, deep, deep love.
I love you.
It was nice. It felt good for a while there. Even back then, though, I think there was a part of me that sensed this was all dangerous territory. Traditions are born up out of a belief that they will endure. You need to be careful with that line of thinking. But at the same time, you gotta let yourself go. You cannot hold back in this life. You just can't. Violet was born in Utah after we'd moved back to Monica's turf. New York City had come and gone in a swirl of 2 years, and now here we were, in a much smaller town and with a baby to our name. She moved me, Violet did.
Start of the day? Yes, you start.
There it is right there.
I see it.
I see it. What other one do you want to ask me?
Do you see a rectangle, Daddy? Do you see a rectangle?
Right there. There it is.
There it is.
She moved both of us beyond any life we'd known up till then. And I remember the Violet Thanksgivings at Monica's mom's house. They meant something to me. I was with her people, but I was with my daughter, too. And she was my people to the bone. So I was okay. I was thankful. Miller Lite in a can, the homemade mashed potatoes, rubbing gravy on our daughter's tiny lips. I just wanted it all to keep on going. You finally understand at that point what it feels like to be thankful. The former blues of a lazy day rise to rapture. You swish the cranberries down with a cheap cold beer and you taste your purpose in life for a few seconds. That's what joy tastes like, if you're ever wondering. Like cranberry sauce and Miller Lite. You cut the turkey with someone else's knife and you stare at your firstborn child and you feel exalted. And if you don't, well, you're in deep trouble. It went away, though, or it morphed into something different. The last Thanksgiving we spent together in marriage, I was immeasurably sad and scared. We had two kids and a third on the way, but he would be born into a drastically altered world than the one I had imagined for him once. Monica was someone else now, someone who wanted something that I couldn't quite understand. I kept hoping she'd see something in me as I served the food to the kids that day. I remember thinking to myself that maybe if I managed to move a certain way, or made Henry giggle a certain way, or poured her small glass of pregnant lady holiday wine a certain way, something would clip the steely cables of her resistance. But no. The thing was in motion. These last few Thanksgivings have been up and down. I don't hang my hat on them anymore one way or the other. I'm thankful for things beyond Pete Rose. Fuck Pete Rose. He means nothing to me anymore. I'm older now, beat up, wiser. Much of what drove me before is gone. Fearlessness, gone. Raging lust, just a few wisps still clinging to the walls. My spirit, at times, I believe it to be broken. I get scared for my kids. I don't want them to know me as a meek man who accomplished all he ever accomplished back before they were born. We've shared the holiday since divorce, and it's been both challenging and lovely at times. Our past haunts us still, but somehow I sense that that may go away. Our methods of destruction remain, but they're quite tired now. All that's left is to hand my musket across the melting cannons and over the bloated dead bodies. Just hand it over to her, standing there wild-eyed in the battle smoke as I wave a weary wave. Take it, I smile. Go on, shoot me in the face. Or let's have a drink together, one or the other. Make up your mind. Time's a-wasting. That's how it feels to me these days. This recent set of almighty co-parenting holiday sharing for the kids' turkey days that we have managed to make happen, they each feel somewhat slow and sad for the past, for the war dead piled upon our separated hearts. We stand there in the late afternoon shadows, staring out over it all as we eat with the kids. We laugh a little, We say mean shit to each other sometimes. There is heartlessness on purpose. Words we will never ever be able to say again go unsaid. Our kids spill drinks, then smile at us across the room. We feel thankful for things we don't even begin to understand. I raise a little wine to this hallowed ground folly. To our fading little war. I guess I still care after all, huh? Now pass the pumpkin pie.
Doing this year for Thanksgiving?
We are going to go to my brother's house.
He's cooking?
He's cooking, which is, again, no matter how you might view Thanksgiving, my brother is one hell of a cook. Right now, he's probably crushing walnuts with the van out in his parking lot so that he can make some kind of stuffing that Martha Stewart would have an orgasm at,
It's so hilarious. If anyone who knows Dave and knows what he looks like, he's the lead singer of Serge's band. And when you try to juxtapose him on stage with him baking his famous pies.
Yeah. But this is a different era, too, that we're living in, right? Like, chefs are the new rock stars in a lot of ways. Foodies have become ultra hip. Food shows, I often think I could just put cameras around Dave's kitchen and it would be an incredible food show as he's, dumping ash into his Sunday gravy. And
Dave should have cameras following him at all times, actually. Okay, so
that's paranoia. That's right back to
there. It goes right back to the. So we're going to be there. Your mom, your stepdad, me, you.
Yeah,
your kids.
I think there'll be lots of people there. There always is. And it is a quintessential Thanksgiving, it's dysfunctional in that. Look who's here, who's this person? Sometimes people come in and then they're gone and we never see them again. Other times it's the same old characters. That's a beautiful thing. And, not to be so Hallmark about it, but I actually feel thankful about that we have that. Because I don't have a big family here. There's not an extended family that shows up. It's often a mix of family and some friends.
No, I feel very grateful that we're still doing it. Like, every year I sort of get that trepidation, like, oh my God, is this the year that we're going to go that traditional divorced parent route?
Right.
Where you have the Thanksgiving on Thursday and then I have it 2 days later when I have custody. And that just seems dreadful.
And in the arena of divorce or separation, I think it leads and begs the question, really, like, why? Why do it? What is the underlying reason?
No, I think it begs the question, why not?
True. But again, I often think about anyone that may be listening to this, and I know that too, that lots of people aren't able to swing it. Lots of people aren't able to do that because of whatever reasons. The chemistry has just gone to hell. People have been, abused physically or verbally, whatever it may be that led to a divorce or a separation. And so it's so strange for you and I, in the wake of yesterday's semi-fiasco.
Semi-fiasco?
It wasn't a full-fledged fiasco.
Can something be a semi-fiasco?
It is now.
Isn't a fiasco, by nature, a full situation?
It felt fiasco-esque, but we're sitting here now. So I don't know that you can roll with a full-fledged fiasco and then get together the next day.
And you're still... I'm still coming to Thanksgiving at your brother's house, so
yeah,
there
of course
we go.
You are, and you. I know it's worth introducing the idea that you worry a lot about. You've brought it up so many times that it's like a big thing for you that you're not going to be invited, that you're not welcome, And I get that, and you've
because
explained.
Because I'm here, I don't have family
I
out
understand
here.
That.
Your family is my family.
I understand that,
and my kids are accustomed to experiencing the holidays with your family.
Right.
So it's either like, if you and I for some reason don't get along. The holiday, I don't want to make their holiday different. I would still say, okay, spend Thanksgiving with your dad and Grammy and Uncle Dave.
Right.
But
which is what a lot of people probably have to do.
But
and
what
do
if
do.
I'm not getting along and then I just sit at home? I have that. That's a very real fear for me where,
Yeah. And
I'm a pain in the ass. There might be a time where you're like, I don't want to see her on Thanksgiving.
I don't want to see you on Thanksgiving.
Okay, we're done. Let's just end it there.
thankful for when, you know, when you have a moment with Violet and she like looks at you really hard and she might even press her forehead to your forehead and she almost, you know what I'm saying? She gets really intense and yeah. It's just sort of this moment where she's like and stares you in the eyes and presses foreheads and then she's out.
I love that kid.
She's the best.
I am thankful for the fact that we've come up with this podcast thing because I'm really hoping it helps people, but also mostly I'm hoping that it makes us rich.
We don't have advertisers. How are we going to get rich?
I don't know. I'm just on my hopes, on the strength of my hopes. So and it's hard to predict what the future is. And I think Thanksgiving should be this time where you're like, okay, I'm going to get together with my dysfunctional family and we're going to
do it up.
Yeah. And we're just going to say, have some good food. And it doesn't even matter how good the food is, you know, like we're just going to hang out. Maybe we're going to go for a hike. Maybe we're going to, you know, drink some wine. Maybe we're going to just sit and watch Snoopy.
Didn't I get you stoned last Thanksgiving? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Don't try to deny on.
Where's my sign that says, I'm going to run for office. Don't say that.
I got you. We stepped outside, and I got you stoned, and you enjoyed it. Do you not recall this?
I do.
You mellowed out, and you were fun. I totally forgot about that until just now.
For the first time in 13 years, I was
fun. You mellowed out, and you were fun.
Well, who knows what Thanksgiving holds, you know? Bomb hits with my mom.
You know what? I'm going to bring some weed, and we're going to find out.
God, then I'll eat the whole thing of creamed onions, which I don't need to do right now. Stuffing. Anyhow. Yeah, I like it.